Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of That 80s Child, The Generation Y, and my name is Gabrielle. You're going to hear this hiss at the back, and it's called a box fan, because today being Monday, and because I didn't actually record this ahead of time, because I had a fun-filled week, and it decided to be like 90 degrees today, and I'm upstairs, so yeah, fun stuff. I don't really want to move my computer down into my bedroom again because, one, my bedroom's a mess and I need to clean it. I don't have a parent anymore to clean it for me. But now I was like reorganizing things and it was getting to a point where I couldn't, usually in my chaos of organization, so chaotic organization, I can find things because I kind of have an idea where it is. But this was like just complete chaos. There was no organization at all to it. So I'm going to try and do like reels and shorts and stuff like that, because just to kind of promote it a little bit more, because I've had a drop in listeners ever since I said thank you for listening and I came back to doing these podcasts, and now it's just like just went down. But anyway, so this episode, I wanted to talk about defunct stores. What I wanted to kind of get, when I was going through the list, some of these stores started. So these weren't the stores that opened and shut within the same decade. It's just ones that shut after, you know, ones that we might have grown up with and have since shut. So you're going to have like these really old stores that were up, you know, for 100 years, maybe, like in the 1800s, and then they shut, unfortunately, like in the 80s or the 90s. And I'm going to go through a few of them. Some of them I'm not aware of. I kind of went all over. I didn't just do the East Coast. There was a couple ones that were all over, but it's going to be mainly East Coast because I that's all I know. I'm from New Jersey, so. Okay, so this one actually closed recently. And it was mainly because of the pandemic, I believe. But I think they were going downhill since. It was Modell Sporting Goods. I never had the pleasure of shopping there. But when I moved to where I am currently, there was a Modell's. And then it shut. So I don't think it was me, but I didn't shop there. So not really into like sports and stuff. So it was there. But I, you know, when I heard about it and I heard the commercials for it, I knew what it was. But it opened in 1889. I didn't realize how old of a store it was. And it closed in 2020, which is a shame because I know there's a lot of stores that really, really suffered during COVID. But even before that, stores were suffering because of like people just not wanting to leave and go into a department store anymore. It's done online or Amazon. Even I so miss the catalogs, like the Sears and the JCPenney catalogs. That's the, you know, I know Amazon will like send like a small little catalog for the holidays, but it's just not the same. It's not. My son would still go through it and circle things that he wanted, but it's just not the same. It's unfortunate. Sports Authority. So I guess a lot of like sports places, well, it shut as Sports Authority in 2016, but it was acquired by Dick's Sporting Goods. Try and find that online if you didn't know. It's under like, it's not like Dick's.com, okay? So Payless. I'm very upset about Payless shutting because as I was growing up, because, you know, I didn't have designer things ever. Oops. Payless was the place to go, or JCPenney or Sears for shoes. When my mom was bougier when I was younger, it would be like Macy's or something like that. So they closed in 2019. So before the pandemic, really, I don't know what, I think they just were just like everything else, just everything going downhill. Okay, so Delia's. I remember this because I always would get them in the mail, like the catalogs for Delia's. It was from 1993, and they closed in 2014. I believe they had a store in Hamilton Mall where I would go. That's in Mays Landing, New Jersey. The way that they had it, it would just be like Delia's, and you go down like a hallway, and you go around, and that's the store. So like nowadays, when you look at a store, you see straight through the store, front to back, majority of the time, unless it's like Hollister, where it's like dark and dim and just pumping that disgusting odor throughout the, so that you die when you go in there. And you start smelling like that, whether you liked the smell or not. So Delia's was of the time. It was definitely of the 1990s, early 2000s fashion. It was very much like a junior's type of clothing line. And I know that I loved some of that stuff, especially when it was like, when everything was getting that, like that 60s vibe again. I loved all of their like bell sleeve shirts and stuff like that, but I never was able to buy any because their sizes were like extra small, small, zero, one, two, you know, and I was never, ever that thin. And I'm a bigger person, unfortunately. And I know there's all body positivity now, and yeah, more power to you, but I don't like what I look like. So that's my own personal opinion, and I think that I need to lose weight. If you're happy the way you are, I wish I could be, but you know, I wish I could be like you. But anyway, so I was never like super, super thin. I was never like a stick. I always had like some, you know, not fat, but I was just, you know, a full human being with some meat on their bones, okay? So I was never like an extra small or zero. I was never, or double zero. I don't even know those numbers, okay? So I was like, I want to say I probably was on the upper tier of like 8 to 10 or 12, you know, for, you know, as I got older, I got fatter. So, you know, it's just what happens. So I never could buy anything. So it was depressing every time I go through them. Like, I want to be able to wear this. And I would be on, my mom was like the queen of diets, especially when growing up, or, you know, going through the 70s and 80s when it was like the height, especially the 80s, the height of that mania when it came to fitness. And you had all the fitness gurus out there and the fitness machines and the new types of diets to try. So like there was like the grapefruit diet that all you would eat was grapefruits. There was a diet that my Uncle Jimmy told my mom about with like, it was like a soup. It was kind of like a gazpacho, which by the way, I'm not big on gazpacho. I don't like cold soup. I love tomatoes. Just not that. It's just nasty. So my mom would actually have me try a lot of this stuff. And then she was on Weight Watchers. We ended up having like Weight Watchers dinners a lot of the time. So I was always like very much aware of that. So anyway, moving away, Dealies. And there was Deb. So the Deb, I guess, I actually only went there once when I had to get a dress. My friend told me about it, never went there, never heard of it before. It closed in 2015. I didn't put when they opened. But I know they had like good choices for the sizes and like having like, you know, a massive amount of choice instead of it being like, you know, like Delia's, where if you're not like a super skinny person who doesn't eat, too bad, you're not going to get anything then. The Disney store. So I was in the Disney store down the shore. We didn't go in there as frequently as, and I have that down here, the Warner Brothers store. The Warner Brothers store was the ones that we would go into. My mom has so many keychains with Marvin the Martian and dog, and then Bugs Bunny, Tasmanian Devil. Like we had, oh, I had a pin that was Pepe Le Pew, which I believe is like a no-no nowadays, but I love Pepe Le Pew, and I had it in my senior year picture, okay? So to you. Anyway. So the Disney store, that was like a huge thing. I remember people saying about like that huge pile of stuffed animals that they always had of like all the characters. Didn't go in there as frequently. It was fairly expensive. You know, it's Disney. They actually closed in 2021. I didn't realize that they were still open until I saw when they closed. I thought they closed a while back. And this was due to the pandemic, it said. Maybe. I mean, they could have easily just, I'm pretty sure you could probably purchase a lot of the stuff online now, but yeah. Fashion Bug. That was pretty much my mom's go-to throughout the late 90s. So 2013 was when they closed down. Our Fashion Bug that we had where I lived shut down a while before that, but we would go there all the time. My mom still has some tops. They don't fit her anymore because she's lost quite a bit of weight as she's progressed with dementia and getting older. But yeah, we still have some Fashion Bug fashion in our closets. And I did get a lot of stuff there because they were pushing a lot of the... So they were like, you know, for bigger people, kind of like Lane Bryant. I believe Lane Bryant, because I think they were both under the same umbrella. I think they were both owned by Lane, you know, They're both the same, Fashion Bug and Lane Bryant. And then I think they just, if there was a Fashion Bug store, sometimes it would change into a Lane Bryant. I believe that is what happened to the one where I was. I don't think it's there anymore. I'm trying to think. I don't think so. But I remember going in there, and there was always, it's not like Hollister when I say this. It was a specific smell to it. I don't know if it was the store itself, the new clothing. I know that there was like, so back in the like, you know, 96, 97, there was all of the bags and shoes and stuff that were like the clear plastic and all different colors. I think it might have been that smell because there was so much of it. But I just know that when, if ever I smell something like that, it just Fashion Bug for me. Because we were in there quite a bit. My mom spent too much money in there. And I got a lot of my 60s stuff there. I actually had like a pleather, it was a box handbag, and it had like a clip or a snap shut thing, and then a clear top when it had like groovy on it with the smiley faces and the hearts and all that lovely, or the peace signs and all of that. We were in there quite a bit, so I do miss that. I don't miss being, well, I don't want to have to go shopping there if I didn't have to. Gadzooks, it rings a bell, and I think we had one, but I don't know if I ever went in there. It actually came out in 1983, and it was purchased by Forever 21. So it was either just closed down or turned into a Forever 21. Kids R Us. I remember Kids R Us. That was, so our Toys R Us that we had was off of the Black Horse Pike, if you're in New Jersey. It was in Mays Landing, right near the Hamilton Mall, across the way of the Black Horse Pike. And it was like set back in the woods. It was very odd. Had a small, very small parking lot, considering. And it just, like, when you get out, you're like in the middle of the woods, and there's just a Toys R Us there. Now, granted, you go a little bit further, there's a bunch of other places. You're not completely surrounded, but it felt odd having to go in and out there. But anyway, the Kids R Us was attached to the Toys R Us. And I don't know if that was for everyone, but when that shut, I believe it became like an Office Depot, and I think that even shut. And then Toys R Us went down. So anyway, Kids R Us came out in 1983. It was mainly so that it sold clothing for kids, like of all types of ages. And they folded in 2003. I think it was just because the Babies R Us was out. And that folded at the same time as Toys R Us, or a little bit before, I believe. And I worked at Babies R Us when I had my son. So I had a very small discount. They didn't give you that much, but it was nice. And I got to see a lot of the new things that came out prior to them being on the shelf. So I was like, that's going to be his when I can afford it. My mom was the one that actually dressed him from JCPenney, because she worked at JCPenney. That was her second job. At night, and she would be the ones that were marking down things, so she would see as they were clearanced. He pretty much was, there is still a couple of shirts, because my mom got them like super large. She's like, well, it was on clearance. It was like $1 or 97 cents or something like that. I couldn't go wrong with that, even if it didn't fit him. Fits him now. So she's still clothing him even today. So yeah, Kids R Us. I think it was just too niche. Because if Babies R Us was out, you had your baby stuff, and then the toys were toys. And even then, there was like, that was expensive. Kids R Us, you know, if you wanted to go get clothes, you go to a different store. And as I said, the Warner Brothers store, it was apparently, I didn't know this, but it was a victim of AOL Time Warner merger in 2001. That's a shame, because I really liked that store more than the Disney store. I was more like the Warner Brothers stuff. Okay, so this is going to be, I'm not going to go into a whole bunch of different ones. These are going to be the main ones because they are local to this area and in Philadelphia and New Jersey and all. So Strawbridge's and Clothier. So Strawbridge's has the Center City Philly, it was their flagship store. And it was opened in 1868 and to 2006. And this was when we lived in Pennsylvania. My mom's favorite store. And I remember when she would hang out with my sister-in-law and my niece, because my niece is 6 months younger than me? they would go to Strawbridge's, have some lunch, go shopping. And I still have Strawbridge's and Clothier boxes. And I actually just found a couple of Holy Communion blankets, white blankets, and a whole outfit that was from Strawbridge's and Clothier. Probably should just frame it and just be like, you know, history right here. Wanamaker's. So John Wanamaker was one of the first department stores in the U.S. It was in Philadelphia at 1861. It did close in 2006. Macy's took it over. It's in the Center City building, which was Wanamaker's, is a National Historic Landmark. It was designed by Daniel Burnham. And it contains, which I think is awesome, it contains Wanamaker organ, which is the largest functional organ in the world. I didn't know that. I knew there was an organ in there, but I didn't know it was like, you know, it had a, it was a, it's a thing. It's, you know, it's the largest functional organ in the world, which is really cool. And apparently, and my mom mentioned this, the Crystal Tea Room, because she would go there. That closed in 1995. And if you know 1980s movies, 1987, Mannequin featured the Wanamaker store. If you can see Andrew McCarthy, you saw him when he was playing in the, doing Phantom of the Opera playing on the organ. So that was the organ mentioned, which I thought was pretty cool. And I love that movie. Bradley's. I remember Bradley's. That opened up in 1958 and closed in 2001. I believe we only shopped there a few times, but I do remember seeing it go by. Woolworth's. Never been, but my mom talked about it. And my dad, too. 1879 it opened, and it closed in 1997. Foot Locker apparently bought it. Didn't know that. So here's a big one for me. James Way. That opened in 1961 and closed in 1995. I remember when it closed, because I specifically got my brother, because he liked those, what was it, Street Sharks? And it was a puppet, a hand puppet, like really nicely made hand puppet. It was like more expensive than I could afford out of my little allowance that I would get. And because everything must go, when it closed, I bought it and he got that for Christmas. We would go, it was kind of like a Walmart, pretty, I would say like a mix between Walmart and Target. So I don't think James Way would have made it through anyway with everything out right now. So, but it, you know, it was our go-to. It was the one that was in where we lived. It, everything that we wanted to get, usually, like, the grocery store was fairly close, so you had Superfresh or Acme, and then it was ShopRite, because Superfresh closed down, Acme closed down there, so it was ShopRite, that's that. And then we didn't have Walmart for a little while. James Way was there where the Acme was, and then everything just kind of just moved around. Lord & Taylor. It was the oldest surviving department store chain in the U.S. It opened in 1826 and closed in 2021. And I do remember it closing because my one friend from work, she was like, you know, they're closing the stores, and she got like all like these new tops. And she's like, yeah, like I never would have been able to afford any of this stuff if it wasn't for all the like discounts and stuff. So it said the Sadia Group acquired it. It acquired its intellectual property and it launched a website. So it's not actually Lord & Taylor. It's just their intellectual property. So if you see it online, it's another group that acquired that. Montgomery Ward was the first mail order store then, and now it is actually online only. It opened up in 1872. All of the brick and mortar stores closed in 2004, which I don't know if I actually went to. I know I think we got the actual catalog. I didn't mention Sears in here because I would like to have like a whole separate thing on that, just so you know, FYI. Value City. 1917, it opened in 2008. It was liquidation. They just closed it. We did go there a few times. I can't remember what we got. Ames was a discount store from 1958 to 2002. I remember Ames, but I don't think I ever went in there. Gimbel's, or the Gimbel Brothers. They created the oldest Thanksgiving parade in 1920, and it was in Philadelphia. Their chief rival was Macy's and they were opened in 1842 and they closed in 1987 in liquidation. So I would not remember Gimbel's, but my mom, she would tell me about Gimbel's, and it was the, if you lived in the Philadelphia area, if you lived, you know, that just, that was the parade to go to. And they always had like these really awesome displays for Christmas. So my mom would always tell me. And it was featured in Miracle on 34th Street, if you recall. The store and everything was Gimbel's, and their rival was Macy's, and they actually featured both the Gimbel brothers and Macy's in the movie, if you watch the original black and white one, okay? Lit Brothers. So, like I said, this is a lot of, like, Philadelphia-based areas. So, Lit Brothers were from 1891 to 1977. I know this is outside of the 80s or 90s nostalgia, but if you're in Philly, this is nostalgic for you. Not for me, but my mom has talked about it so much that I might as well have been there myself. So I just want to say it was worth a mention because it's a historic building and it was an affordable alternative to Strawbridge's, Wanamaker's, and Gimbel's. And it was based in Philly, obviously. And just for the fact that, you know, you have like Strawbridge's and Clothier, Wanamaker, and Lit Brothers. These buildings are beautiful. If you love architecture, if you like history, if you're ever in the Philadelphia area, please check them out. They are absolutely beautiful. You go in to the Wanamaker one, and if you've ever seen Mannequin, that opening shot where you just see like that floor-to-ceiling light, the organs at the end of it, and then it's just like layers of products to buy. It just was beautiful. Like, they don't make them like that anymore. It's just some place you should go to if you're ever in the area and just to check them out because it's history. It's still there. They are kept on the historical list, so nothing's going to happen to them, which I'm very, very happy about. So Eckerd, CVS and then Rite Aid acquired that afterward, but I remember Eckerd. They opened up in 1898 and closed in 2007. So, side story about Eckerd, the only reason why I really brought that up, in my entire life, I've been, well, I'm not dead yet, but up until this point, first, I never really got in trouble at school. I got in trouble a handful of times when I was chewing gum, because you're not allowed to chew gum in school, and this was a Catholic school, if you didn't recall me mentioning this before. It was, you couldn't chew gum, so I had gum one time. I got yelled at. My mom didn't sign a paper or a test for me. And they didn't sign it, and I had failed it because this was seventh grade. Yeah, I almost failed seventh grade. I just didn't try. So it was a failing grade, and the reason why the teachers would have them sign it is so that they made sure that the parents saw that you were failing. And I didn't get in trouble as much because it usually got siphoned through my mom, and my dad really like left it up to her, I believe. And if there was any type of like, I never got yelled at for that stuff. So I had no like reason not to have it signed, but I left it out. She forgot to sign it. And when I came in, my teacher, Miss Cryan, she was not a bad person. Okay. She was doing her job. And actually, she helped me a lot in eighth grade. I had gotten second honors that time, so she was an awesome teacher because she actually cared. Anyway, so she asked me, she's like, did you get that test signed? I was like, oh. So I looked, and I'm like, oh, no, she didn't actually sign it. I'm so sorry. And it's not as though I was hiding it from her. She's like, oh, okay, well, then you had the three chances. Now you have detention. And I'm like, detention? This was seventh grade, and I've never had detention before. And I was so upset. And I even went up to her after. I was like, how does this work? Like, how does detention work? Like, I have to tell, when, today? Is that today? Do I have to tell my mom to come pick me up? Or is this another day? What the hell do we do? So I ended up, I went. And I believe it was like a specific day. I can't remember. I remember going in there. And it was just so odd how quiet everything was. Because the moment I was able to leave that building, I would not want to step foot in it again until the next day I had to be there. And I was transported by a prison bus. I ended up getting my homework done. So that was nice. That was a plus because most of the time I didn't even do my homework. I just, like I said, in seventh grade, I kind of gave up. Yeah. But anyway, so what was I saying? Oh, so I never really got in trouble that frequently. So as you know, so when I, when I went to Eckerd one time, because I was stupid and so inexperienced when it came to, how do I explain this? I have so many weird stories to tell, and I think I'm going to have this like as a separate, it's going to be a separate podcast, because I like just to discuss something that we all can like kind of figure out, and then I'll have my ridiculous life on another one along with other things. But anyway, I didn't have any relationships, okay? I didn't date. I hated everything about myself, and you know, and I was made fun of, so nobody was really that interested. And I was with the same people for 12 years, with the exception of when we got into high school, there were some changes to that. So I saw people who went to other schools at the time, but it wasn't that many, okay? There was only 100 graduating kids in my class for 2001, so that's how small. So it really didn't have much of a change. So the people I talked to were outside of school. My first experience in other things, I didn't understand all of the workings, because Catholic school didn't teach you diddly squat. My mom was the one that pretty much told me as much as I knew, but even then it wasn't like, only as I asked. She didn't actually like offer the information. So I thought I was pregnant, okay, because I was stupid. Went to Eckerd. I had money of my own, and I was going to go get a pregnancy test. But as I'm standing there, and I felt, I was in my freaking uniform from school, because that was the only time, because I was driving, and it was the only time that I had moments to myself that I was like, you know what, let me get this done now and be done with it. So nobody was with me, because I was like so scared. I was so like, I didn't know what the hell was happening. So I went into there, and this is, by the way, I only did anything one time. I was just so stupid. I was so immature and naive. So I went there and and picked up a pregnancy test. I'm like reading it, and I'm like, okay, is this good? I don't know. Like, and I went to go and pay for it, and I'm standing in line in my freaking Catholic school uniform with a pregnancy test in my hand. And I was like, what the hell am I doing? And I went and I put it back and I left. And as I'm walking to my car, and I walk fast, just, I wasn't like running. I walk fast anyway. It was just something that I grew up with. If you listen to Music and Bullies, I think that was within my first season, I mentioned why I walk fast. So you can check that one out. I saw a woman come out and like with the Eckerd shirt on, and I looked over and I'm like, what? And then as I'm in the car, I'm like, she probably thinks I stole this thing, because I walked out pretty quick. So I went back in and I said, and I put my bag, which is like, if you remember those stupid little like cinch backpack things I had. And I was like, here, I didn't take anything. The test is right there. You can see, because I just shoved it on top. You can look through my bag, and if you want, you can go look at my car. And she's like, oh, I'm glad you came, you know. She's like, we thought you might. And I'm like, well, you could have just came up to me. I didn't steal shit, so you can go check yourself. So I never went into Eckerd again. And they're shut, so. And then the last one that I'll mention is Thrift Drug. That was opened in 1935 to 1997. Now, but it said it was Eckerd's successor. I wrote this, which is can't be, because Eckerd closed or was taken over and acquired by CVS and Rite Aid in 2007. So we had a Thrift Drug in Hamilton that we went to. I think we went, that was for all of my dad's medication for a long time, and then we ended up going to Rite Aid after that. I know there's so many more, and I think I might go in and do another one for, like, I did a lot of, like, Philadelphia area ones, but like I said, there's so many historical things in Philly. And here's my plug for Philadelphia. Now, I know the area is known for, I know the area might be a little scary to people if you hear anything bad about Philly. But I've walked Philly on my own. Recently, I've walked Philly on my own. And I walked with my son. And I was there when I went to college for 2 seconds back in 2001. Now, granted, things have changed a lot since then. But regardless, it's still a really awesome place to go and see some really, really cool old buildings, like the way things used to look like, Most of my family grew up there. It's cool to see areas. It's a really great place to go and check out for historical things, and you get to see how things used to look like, and, you know, and there's a lot of stuff to do there. And they have really awesome restaurants, bars. It's a really, it is a beautiful area if you look for it. And if you want to see bad things, you'll see bad things. Not that you want to see them. I'm seeing, like, you know, it's all about a mindset too. So, I mean, obviously keep yourself aware, but, you know, it's not, I never felt like I was in trouble when I was there. And I walked Atlantic City on my own, so that place is creepy. And I'm talking, like, not the boards, not where the shore is, not, like, where, you know, where the casinos and stuff are. I walked in Atlantic City, okay? So, I think that's it. This is going to be a short one versus my last two. We're, like, almost an hour, if not over. So, this one's a little bit shorter because I didn't really know how many stores to mention because it'd just be me listing a bunch of things. But I figured some of the things that I knew when I went to and some little weird stories to go with it make it interesting. So if you have any stores that you miss or have any ones that you would like to maybe hear in another episode or just to tell me, I would love to know. Because like I said, I'm only in the East Coast. I'm sure I know that there are other stores and places that I might do restaurants too. So if you have any recommendations, please follow me on Spotify. Follow me, like and subscribe on YouTube. On my website, I believe you can leave comments underneath there. And I have my Facebook page, and I will be doing an Instagram page specifically for the podcast. And you can comment and interact that way. I will respond because, believe me, I would like to get my listenership up. I would like to have some back and forth if we wanted to do anything live at some point in future. But for now, here we are. And I want to appreciate all of you I want to thank you all for listening so far and just being there to hear me, I guess. So thank you so much. I appreciate you. And I hope you will listen to all the other ones. Please check out my website, GabrielleCataldi.com, where all the podcasts are, as well as my blog and my writing. That is going to be getting a revamp at some point. I am in the midst of, like, kind of designing it. I have to redo, like, the menu and things. But everything's up there. It's available. I just wanted to redo it since we've gotten a lot more stuff on there. It's kind of getting a little jumbled up, so. And like I said, I'm on Spotify, wherever you can get podcasts, and I have everything up on YouTube. Please like, subscribe, follow, and interact. Like I said, because any of the social medias that I have my author page, I have my podcast page, and on the website. So yeah, I'll interact back, okay? So thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I hope you will listen to the next. And this has been That 80s Child, The Generation Y. And I'm Gabrielle. And until next time, bye.